I'm excited to preach this sermon this morning, continuing this sermon series on the elements. And if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I looked at the element of earth, and I ended up on the rock that is Jesus Christ and how he is the good foundation. There is no other, right? There's no other to build your life upon. And today I'm moving over to the element of air. And I just want to show you real quick how awesome God is. The primary topic that I'm going to be talking about air is the wind. Is this a perfect day to preach about the wind or what? And so when Terry was like, hey, can we do the baptism this Sunday? I was like, yeah. And for a second, I was like, you know what? I'm going to change. I'm not doing wind. I'm going to go to water because we're baptizing someone. And I thought, no, I need to stick with the order that I felt like God gave me in the first place, which was earth, air, and then water and fire. And so then I go to lay down last night, and I'm like, I can't even hardly go to sleep because the house is like, you know, and I hear the porch swing banging, and I was like, all right, I get the picture. I'm preaching on air. Like, you don't have to keep me up all night about it. But so when we look at air, all right, God made the air. Amen? We know that in creation that he made it. We know that air is all around us, and we know that it's clear that God created. I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but the air that we breathe has the perfect balance of things that we need to be able to live and to function. If things were off just a little bit, one way or the other, we would die. We would not be able to function. So he did this specific balance of gases that makes it perfect for life on earth. We know that air is invisible, yet it is always present. We don't see air, but what we see is the evidence of air. We see the evidence, the effects of air. We see that every time shingles blow off of the parsonage, right, bud? We see the effects. We're like, we know it was windy, right? You didn't even have to be here to know that it was windy. We can see what it did. And so do you guys agree this morning that we need air? Yes, we need air. It's an important part of life. And so wind is just simply the movement of air. Wind is always blowing. If you would live here like I do, you would know that to be absolute fact. Wind is always blowing, but I want to tell you that wind is even blowing when you don't think it is. Okay, so wind is caused by air moving from high pressure places to low pressure places, and so even when the air seems like it is still, it's really just in a place where it's kind of equal distance from high to low pressure. And I know for some of you that are not into science, you're probably like, all right, get on with it. This is nerdy, but it's important that you understand this. So air is always there, but it's also always moving. Even when we think the air is calm, it is moving. Basically less than one knot, and if you don't know what knots are, so it's about, I did the math for you, and it's about 1.15 miles per hour. The air is always, 100% of the time, the air outside is moving, but sometimes it's as slow as about a mile per hour. You guys ever tried to drive a car a mile per hour? You can't. I mean, most of my cars, if you just let your foot off the gas or off the brake, it goes 10 miles an hour. You know, if you're lucky, it might go 5, but it's hard to go 1 mile an hour. That's really slow, and you would probably be like, we are not even moving, right? And so that's air, and the wind when it is moving slow. So what does this have to do with God, other than the fact that he made this air for us to live? If you want to turn to John chapter 3, that's where we'll spend the bulk of our time today. And it says this, is Jesus speaking. He says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Wind, this element, is an element of God. And this Greek word for wind here is pneuma. And if that sounds familiar, it's where we get pneumatic from, right? Air tools, pneumatic. It's where we get pneumonia from, right? An illness in the lungs, which we breathe air through. They come from this Greek word pneuma. And so Jesus is playing a little bit of a word game here, because in this verse, both the words wind and the word spirit are both the Greek word pneuma. You guys might have heard that the word spirit in the Bible is ruach, okay? That's Old Testament, that's Hebrew, it's ruach, okay? But in the New Testament, it's pneuma, wind and spirit, same word. So what he's showing us here in the scripture is that the wind in this verse is being treated as a picture of the spirit. Jesus is trying to show somebody with things they can think of, things they can imagine, what am I talking about when I'm talking about the moving of the spirit? He starts off by saying the wind blows where it wishes. The wind blows, it moves constantly, like the Spirit moves constantly. The Holy Spirit is always on the move. Listen, we had testimony of that this morning in a baptism. The Holy Spirit's always on the move. He's always working. He's never, I want you to hear this morning, he's never sitting still. Even when you think he's doing nothing, he may be moving about 1 mile an hour, but he's moving. The Holy Spirit is always on the move. He doesn't sit still. He's moving. Sometimes, you know, it's good sometimes the Holy Spirit moves slowly and gently in our lives, working on us, working for us. But, you know, we can't control the wind, right? Anybody know that? You can't control the wind. Believe me, if we could out here, we would try. You can put up some trees. You can try to do a windbreak that's going to slow it down a little bit, but you can't actually just make it go and do what you want it to do. Do you know that you can't control the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? You can't make him do what you want him to do. He's like the wind. He goes where he wishes. But I want to tell you that when he goes where he wishes, that he always does it for your good. Amen? You guys believe that? He always does it for your good. Always. 100% of the time. We must not try to control the Holy Spirit, but instead, part of what we sang about, we need to surrender. We need to surrender. You know what it means to surrender? We always think about hands up, right? It's hands up if the cops are telling you, you know, if they're pointing a gun at you, it's hands up. I surrender, right? I give way to you. But why do we do that? It means to give away or yield your power to another, right? That's what you're doing when you're surrendering to a police officer, right? It doesn't matter why he's asking you to surrender. You just do it. You obey and you work out the issues later, but you surrender. We need to be in the same position with the Holy Spirit. We need to constantly be in a place of surrender where we say, you know what? I give up my power. I transfer it to you. I surrender to your authority in my life. Jesus says the wind moves where it wills, but also he says that you hear the sound of it. Say, I hear the sound of it. I hope this is true for you this morning. Do you hear the sound of the wind? I mean, literally, you can hear the sound of the wind outside this morning. I saw a couple people, like, it's a good thing that nobody had, maybe if you do, you did a good job, but nobody had fake hair today because you would have lost it outside. I saw a couple ladies that came in, their hair was like doing that. I don't have enough hair to do that. It's no worry for me. I just walk in. It's like no big deal, but the wind was making a lot of noise. Now, there's most days that you don't hear that, but the Spirit moves like the wind where it wishes, but you hear the sound of it. Think about this for a minute. You hear the sound. Okay, when you hear something, okay, we're not just talking about just being aware of the noise, but this word to hear means to perceive, to become aware, and to know. It says when the Spirit moves, you hear something. You know something. Something within you is on alert. Like, I am now aware that something is going on around me at this moment. But you don't just know anything. It says you know the sound. You hear the sound, and if you recognize that sound as the Holy Spirit, you know the sound. You have a knowledge and awareness that not just is this a sound, but it is the moving of the Spirit of God. This shows us that there are effects of the Spirit that we can hear. There's also effects that we can see, just like the invisible wind. You can't see the wind, but you can hear the sound. You can't necessarily feel the wind, but what you feel is the pressure of the wind bracing against your skin, right? You go outside and you're like, everybody ever stuck their head out the window? Like, I know as a kid you did. Right, one time we were on the way to Six Flags or something, and one of my cousins was hanging his head out the window, or his girlfriend was hanging her head out the window, like, the whole time looking at our car. It was like, you know, the wind gets in your cheeks, and it's like that. You see a dog, right? You can feel the effect of the wind, the pressure against your skin. You know that it is there. You can feel it, again, going through your hair, if you have any. And so you see the effects by the leaves flying through the air. We see the effects here by pieces of corn, right, that are flying through there when the farmers had taken down the field and all the pieces that just ended up on the side, and we see them floating around out here year round. Hey, but I'm just saying, we see the effect of the air. Church, you can't see the Holy Spirit. You realize that? You can't see the Holy Spirit. This is the part of the issue we as humans have, is that, but I can't see him. I physically can't see him, but I want to tell you that you can perceive and you can know what he does. You can have an understanding that he's at work within you and around you. Jesus also tells us that you can't tell where the wind comes from. Where did this wind come from? Where did it begin at? Which direction should I look, right? You can't tell where it comes from. I remember when my kids used to ride the bus to school, and the bus would come from a road down south, and so from in our house, they couldn't see the bus pulling in. They couldn't see the bus stopping on the highway, but they knew where it came from. And so instead of standing outside and waiting, they would stand inside and wait, and they would look at where the bus was coming from. And when they could see where the bus came from, they knew when it was close. They knew that it was time to head out the door to meet the bus at the road, except for when it didn't come from where it was supposed to come from. You guys know that that happened a time or two? I don't know if there was just like one kid that they picked up down, sometimes he called in sick or what, but there was every once in a while where the bus did not come from down there, and guess who else? Either missed the bus or was running, right? The bus is here. It's time to run. Get going. Get out there. See, sometimes we want to see the Spirit coming. Anybody bear witness with that? We want to see the Holy Spirit coming. We want to say, you know what? I want to anticipate what God is going to do today. I want to anticipate what. So where is he coming from? What should I be looking towards? And then we want to meet him on our terms. You know, that's why we want to anticipate what he's doing. We want to be ready for it. I want to be ready for it. I want to make sure that I'm okay with this. I want to make sure that I'm good with this. So where is he coming from? I want to tell you that as we try to anticipate him and meet him on our terms, that's not how God works. It's not how he works. If you're going to try to put God in a box, listen, Holy Spirit moves where he wills. He moves where it pleases him. He moves where he desires to. He moves where he's determined to go, and you can't put limits on him. You can't stop him, because if you can tell where he's coming from, if you think you've got it nailed down, then just like that bus, he took a different path, and bam, surprise, right? I'm here. See, mystery remains here because the Spirit works in ways that we do not fully understand. Can I tell you that not only is that okay, but that's also good? It's good that he doesn't just work in ways that we understand. Amen. We would be really limited on what he could do in our lives. Amen. We really would. I don't know about you, but I don't want there to be limits on the way the Holy Spirit works in my life. I don't want there to be limits. And so the wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from. And Jesus says also you cannot tell where it goes. The wind is unpredictable. You know, if you watch the Weather Channel or you look at your app or whatever, it'll kind of tell you the wind is going this direction in this at this speed. It'll kind of give you an idea, because we can look kind of based on patterns. We can kind of look based on measurements, yet ultimately it still goes where it wants. You ever been outside and felt the direction of the wind 100% change directions? And you're just kind of like, wow, what is that? It happens to me every single time I'm by a campfire. Every time. it does not matter, right? And it's like the more people there are around the campfire, the more people you got jockeying around trying to get the spot where the wind's not blowing the smoke to, and as soon as you move, it changes directions again. You know, the wind can also move in circles, right? You ever seen that? Not just a tornado, but sometimes you'd be driving by and you look out in a field and you can see a little dust storm. I don't know what they're actually called, but you see those out in the fields, and the wind moves how he wants. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us how he wants. We're to follow Jesus. Amen? How are we to do that? By walking in the Spirit, by going where he leads us to go. But Jesus said, you don't know where he goes. Right? He's relaying this story of this wind as the Spirit, and he says, you don't know where the wind goes. Well, how are we supposed to follow him? What he's saying is you're not going to be able to just meet up with him at the destination. You need to be close with him. You need to walk in the Spirit, not just try to meet him there. Psalm 143:10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. You don't know where the Spirit is leading you, but you've got to trust that he's good, right? You've got to trust that he'll lead you in the ways of God, that he'll lead you away from sin and toward righteousness in Christ. You've just got to trust. The wind blows where it wishes. You can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Everyone that's born of the Spirit. If you don't know this, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he's telling him that you can't just be born of water. You got to be born of water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus is really confused. And so Jesus goes on this explanation here. And what he's saying here, wrapping this up, so everyone who is born of the Spirit is like this example. And what he's saying here is that in this way, everyone that is born in the Spirit comes into being. How do they come into being? The Spirit blows where he wishes. You can hear the sound of it. You can see the evidence. You can tell that he's moving, but you don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he is going. I kind of liked what was shared this morning during baptism, that for a long time she tried to save everybody. You know, that's the biggest mistake that we make in our lives as Christians, is we put the pressure on ourselves to save people. You guys realize that it's a work of the Spirit, right? We do our part. We share. We're the vehicle that God uses. But listen, it's got to be the work of the Spirit if you want to see everlasting change. Like, right, we got to be above behavior modification. I'm tired of just telling people to be good. How about we don't just be good, but instead we follow Jesus? How about instead of just being good, we actually listen to the Holy Spirit, that we hear the sound of him and we do what he tells us to do and we go where he tells us to go? Because if we can just do that, right, he leads us to the path of uprightness. He leads us where we need to end up. We don't got to worry about that. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again. He's telling him that the Spirit is always moving. The Spirit is drawing people to Jesus. The Spirit is revealing sin and our need for Christ. And we can see the effects of it, he says. You can see the changes in people. Amen? Have you guys seen changes in people when the Spirit's moving? Have you seen changes in your own life when the Holy Spirit is working on you? You may not see him coming, but I'll tell you what, you'll see what he does. You will see what he does. The main effect of the Spirit on our lives is that he makes us alive spiritually. You guys realize that? So many people are like, I'm just going to repeat a prayer and I'm going to be saved. It's not just that you believe on Christ, but it's that the Spirit makes you alive in Christ, right? It takes the working of the Spirit in our lives. That's how we're born again. Our will moves because the wind is blowing. Our will moves. You guys realize that? It's not his will that moves. He doesn't impose it upon us. It's our will gets moved to the side because the Spirit is blowing on us and we're saying, okay, I get it, right? I'm ditching my will. I'm surrendering. And we're awakened and we move toward Christ because the Spirit blows where he wills and he gives life to whom he wills. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament. He knew all of the teachings. He knew all of the prophetic words that had been given through Ezekiel and through David and through Jeremiah. He knew all of these things. And as Jesus shared about being born again, and as he shares about the wind, I want to tell you that Nicodemus would have been very, very, very familiar with a verse that we're pretty familiar with, a chapter we're familiar with, which is Ezekiel 37. And so when you look at that passage in Ezekiel, right, this is about the dry bones. We see the dry bones, and he sees this valley full of dead bones, full of dry bones, right? Death everywhere. And Jesus, or God tells him in there, he says to prophesy to the wind, right? He says prophesy to the wind. First he prophesies to the bones and they gather together, but they're still not living. They're just gathered together. And God tells him, he says, Ezekiel, he says, prophesy to the wind, right? That means speak to the wind. Speak to the wind. And when he speaks to the wind, the Spirit came and gave life to the bones. You guys hear that? When he spoke to the wind, the Spirit came and gave life to the bones that were dead. And I want you to notice here that it took a combination of two things for that to happen. It took the Spirit of God, but it also took the Word of God, who is Christ. It took the Spirit of God and the Word of God working together to bring life to the dead. The nation of Israel, including Nicodemus and the others that he was friends with, they were dead and hopeless, and they needed new birth, just as we were dead and hopeless and in need of new birth. Amen? The Holy Spirit brings life. We need to know that Jesus, and I'll tell you what, I don't know where I would be in my life without Jesus. Anybody say the same? I don't know where I'd be. Some of you I've known since I was a kid, and you guys are probably just amazed that I'm alive, right? And some of you are so old that I'm amazed that you are too. I'm sorry. If I was going to make fun of myself, I figured I'd try to throw it back out there to it's just a few of you, just a couple of you, just maybe two or three or five. I don't know, but I mean, think about your life. Think about your life. If you know Christ already, think about what would your life be like without him. Do you remember those days? Do you remember how miserable you were? I mean, let's be real. In the moment, it was fun. It usually wasn't fun the next morning, right? It usually wasn't fun when you were alone, when you were isolated, when you were left with nothing but your thoughts and your shame and your guilt. That part wasn't fun. But man, can I tell you that I don't have days like that now? Can I tell you that I don't wake up in the morning and regret what I did yesterday? Can I tell you that I wake up and I'm in peace every day? Can I tell you that I'm ready to die? I'm just being honest with you. We need to get to that place, church. I'm not looking to die. Don't hear me wrong, but I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I know where I'm going. If my feet are pretty ticklish, I really thought about like getting something tattooed on my feet, like "see ya," you know, or whatever, for when I'm going up. I mean, I'm guessing we're not gonna have shoes, but I guess you don't know. I'm ready, guys. I'm ready to go because I know where I'm going. I'm ready to go because I know what the Spirit has done in my life. I've heard the sound. And I'll tell you, every day of my life, I hear the sound. Every day of my life, I hear him working. I see the evidence of what he is doing in my life. We need to know Jesus. But how do we know? We know because of that constant moving, that constant blowing of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. John 15:26, Jesus says, "But then the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth. Can I tell you this morning that you cannot know truth without the Holy Spirit? You cannot. You can read the Bible every day of your life. You can sit in church every day of your life. The only way that you know truth, the only way that you know that Jesus is who he said he is by the Holy Spirit revealing it to your heart. There is no other way. Now listen, that doesn't, don't take the responsibility off of us. It's our job to share it. It's our job to encourage, to build up, to love, to show people the way. But I'm going to tell you that it takes the Holy Spirit to bring the revelation. There's no other way. Jesus says that Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. Holy Spirit will tell us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? There's no other way to the Father. No other way. When we looked at Jesus as the rock a couple of weeks ago, right? We talked about how important it was for our lives to be built on the rock, to have a solid foundation, to be built on him because he's solid. He's a firm foundation. He's immovable. Because if we do that when the storm comes, if he's our foundation, we will withstand the storm. Amen? We remember that from 2 weeks ago. But it also said that the wind will come and the wind will beat on that house. The house built on the rock, the house built on the sand. The wind will come and the wind will beat on those houses. And when I studied that before, I just kind of thought it was a part of the storm. And as I was studying for this, even this morning, God showed me that it's not just the wind of the storm, but it's also the wind of the Spirit that'll come and beat on that house. What do you mean by that? I mean, the Holy Spirit's good, right? Why is he going to come and beat on me? That's conviction. The Holy Spirit comes and he tests the house of God. He comes and the wind blows against the house of God. It brings pressure against the house of God to expose things. That's conviction. We need that in our lives. Amen? Anybody besides the preacher love conviction? I do. Listen, I don't like condemnation. I don't like people beating me down, but I do like when God reveals to me my shortcomings because it shows me his love for me, right? That he doesn't want me to stay in that place, that he wants better for me. And when the wind beats against that house, the wind of the Holy Spirit, right? He always does what's good for you again. But do you know that just because he does what's good for you doesn't mean it's always pleasant, and it doesn't mean that it's always pain-free, right? Have you heard about circumcising the heart? Doesn't sound very painless. You ever heard of pruning the branches? Doesn't sound painless, right? There are things that he does that sometimes it hurts in the moment, but it's for our good and for the fruit that we will bear. And so the wind exposes weakness. It tears up or tears off things that need to be rebuilt, things that need to be strengthened, things that need to be replaced, and it also tests if you were on that good foundation or not. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit will knock a house off of a sandy foundation. I believe the Holy Spirit will do that so that they can realize my foundation is garbage. My foundation is garbage. Why does my house keep getting knocked off? Why does the sand keep eroding? Oh, I need a different foundation, right? There's something that the Holy Spirit will reveal to them. Something's got to change in our lives. We need air to live, and we need the Holy Spirit to live. Amen? I want to show you that this was the first wind. The second wind is a little bit shorter, but that was the first wind. There's also a second wind. Do you guys know that God is a God of more? How many of you guys, you don't have to raise your hand, you can just like wink at me or something. How many of you guys are people that you will always get the job done, but you just will do the bare minimum? All you guys are overachievers. Listen, God is not the kind of God that he does the bare minimum. You guys realize that he could have just sent Christ to save us and left it at that, and we could have lived a miserable life being saved. That's not victorious. It's not an overcoming. It's just waiting for death so we can go to heaven. Do you know that would have been possible? He could have done that. But you know that God is a God of more. You know that God is a God of blessing. You know that God doesn't just want us to survive this life, but he wants us to thrive in this life. Just Matthew. He's the only one that knows it. It's true. God doesn't just want you to just get by. He wants you to be a powerhouse. He wants his church to be victorious, to come against the gates of the enemy. And so he gives us a second wind. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, the day of Pentecost had fully come, and when they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, say suddenly, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. You hear that? The sound again? Do you hear the sound? Of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, this right here is not a moment of salvation. This is a moment of empowering. This right here is not the first wind that saves your soul. This right here was the second wind that gives you boldness to be a witness. It gives you the power and the victory over the enemy to overcome, to live a victorious, overwhelming life. These people in this room, these 120 that were left, they already heard the gospel. Church, they already walked with Jesus. They had learned his ways. Can I tell you a secret? They were already saved. These 120 people were already saved. I'm not so sure about the 380 that left. But I can tell you that the 120 that stayed were saved. How do I know this? And I'm glad that you asked. Aren't you amazed that Jesus gives us the answers in the Word of God, that you don't have to trust me to just make something up? None of you are glad for that? I tell you what, you guys got to get with it a little bit, all right? John chapter 20, verse 22 and 23. So Jesus said to them again, not the first time, "Peace to you, and as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You guys hear that? He breathed on them. This was the first wind for those disciples. This was the first wind for them. This is their moment of salvation, right? At the moment of salvation, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Everybody believes that. Every Christian believes that, that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's just a lot of them would just pitch them to the side after that and say, "Well, that's it." I want to tell you, this is the moment they were filled. It says receive. He didn't say receive the Holy Spirit in a couple months. He breathed on them and said, "Here it is. Receive this right now. You are saved." This was the moment they're born again, when Jesus blew on them. You see that? The movement of air again, the wind again, directly from God, directly from the Son of God. And then a little bit later, Acts chapter 1, he said to them, they were assembled together, and he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. You guys ever really stopped and paused and thought about that verse? He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, "You have heard from me." He said, "You guys, you're saved, right? Wait. I command you to wait." Now, this tells you something about the 380 that didn't wait. They weren't obedient, were they? He didn't say, if you would like some blessing, then wait. If you're good, then go ahead and leave. He didn't say anything like that. The Word of God says that he commanded them not to depart. He knew the importance of the second wind. Jesus was like, I know that what we just went through is exciting. I know that you guys are ready to get to work. I know that you can do some really amazing things, but I want you guys to wait. Isn't that hard? It's hard to wait, isn't it? Terry, it was hard to wait this morning, wasn't it? It's hard to wait. When you're excited, when you're ready to get something done, it's hard to wait, and he commands them to wait. He says the second wind is important. And so when the first wind blows on us and we're born again, man, that feels good, doesn't it? It feels good when we're born again. It feels good when we've given our life to Christ. It's amazing. We're fired up. We're ready to tell people about Jesus. We're ready to do whatever he tells us to do. We're serving in the church. We're serving our neighbors. We're doing all these things. Nothing can stop us, right? Victory is ours. Everybody remember those days? Hopefully some of you are there right now, but I remember those days. I want to tell you what happens, that as we're doing this, we start to run out of breath. We start to run out of breath. We find that we're getting tired. We're getting weary. You know how many Christians are sitting at home this morning because they're tired and weary? A lot of them. There's a lot of them. You've probably been those people. I've been those people. Actually, I haven't. I've been here tired and weary, not sitting at home. But I'm going to tell you, people get to that point where you just want to stop. You just want to give up. You just want to lay down. You know, that's exactly how a runner feels in a marathon. Do you know that as they're running, right, they get to this point as they're running the marathon where they're just, no matter how in shape they are, they're out of breath. No matter how in shape they are, they're starting to get tired. Their body is starting to say, uh-uh, man, right, this is enough. You're going to have to lay down now. You're going to have to get some rest. You need to stop. You need to put the brakes on. Do you know that runners feel like that? If a runner feels like that and he stops, do you know that he's done? He's toast. He's not going to get moving again. But he keeps going and he keeps going, and then something amazing happens. He gets what we call a second wind. You know that? And when he gets the second wind, I want to tell you something that's amazing about the second wind. When he gets the second wind, can I tell you how it comes? They might want to know how it comes this morning. Suddenly. It comes suddenly. It comes suddenly. Like the Holy Spirit came suddenly for a second wind for the disciples. It comes upon them suddenly, without any kind of warning, without any kind of notice. It's there in a moment. But I want to tell you something else. When you get that second wind as a runner, all of a sudden, not only do you have the strength to press on, but it's even more than that. They actually, it's been scientifically proven that they run at greater performance levels with less effort. You guys hear that? They're tired, they're weary, they're worn out, they want to quit, they're ready to give up, and then suddenly, the second wind breathes upon them, blows upon them, and now not only can they finish the race, but they are booking it. Right? They are moving quick. They are performing at maximum level, and they are no longer using maximum effort. I don't know about you, but if I was a runner, I'd be like, I'm going to run as hard as I can before the race starts so I can get the second wind right at the start. I realize it's probably a really bad strategy. It probably wouldn't actually work like that. Be like, we're running a marathon. Guys, I just ran one. I'm ready. Ready for the second wind. But the second wind, that's how it works. Guys, you know the second wind of God in our spiritual life works the same way. There's so often that we're so tired and weary and worn down, and we've had the first wind. But wait for the second. We stop, we give up, we give in. And if we would just wait for the second wind, if we would just keep pushing forward and seek the second wind of the Spirit that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, can I tell you about that Jesus is the baptizer? It's not just that he commanded them to wait, but he said, hey, wait, because I'm going to do something for you. You wait because I am going to give you a second wind. I am going to use the Holy Spirit and put him upon your life in a way that you've never experienced before so that you can do maximum performance with less effort. Hallelujah. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't? I should not have raised my hand. I don't mean who doesn't want that. Who doesn't want to do maximum effort at less, or maximum performance at less effort? That sounds great to me. Suddenly, right? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Listen, if you find yourself in a place where you're running out of breath, too tired, I want to tell you that it can be changed suddenly. It can be changed suddenly. Let me tell you where I was changed. Can I tell you this morning? I was changed on 128. Actually, it was just past Year Road down there. A little bit before what's the road that goes that way? My mind is blank. Moccasin. Just a little bit before Moccasin Road, I was listening to an awesome man of God, Keith Moore, listening to his sermon, and I was filled suddenly. And my life has never been the same since. I got to work that day. I was working at Cowden at the school, and I got there, and I went into the server room, and I didn't even know how to function. I didn't know how to do the work that I needed to do, the work that I was being paid to do, because the Holy Spirit came upon me suddenly, and I was just overwhelmed by his presence. But praise God, I could close that door, and nobody would know that I was in there. It was locked, so like they'd have to knock, and I just let God work on me. But it was suddenly, and I was weary, and I was tired, and I was a leader in the church. Can I tell you that? I was a leader in the church. I had come down to altar call after altar call after altar call after altar call and said, I want this second wind. And I didn't get it. And I didn't get it. And I didn't get it. But then suddenly, can I tell you when I got it? When I decided I would wait for it. I didn't stop asking, but I let the asking for that stop being the center of my life. I went back to a place where Jesus was the center of my life, and I said, you know what? My job is to follow him. My job is to follow him, and then, as I do that, as I'm faithful, he will give me good things. He will work in my life in different giftings. Suddenly. And you won't be getting by, because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you one more thing here before we wrap up. The Lord showed me this morning. Actually, it was last night, and I was laying in bed. And he showed me a windmill. You ever been up, up north? I don't know exactly where it's at. Pawpaw, and there's a couple other areas where there's just windmills everywhere. Right? All those windmills. And they're trying to use that wind to generate power to serve other needs. But God showed me that too often we as Christians operate like a windmill. And you might think that sounds like a good idea, but I want to show you what he showed me. He said a windmill just stands there and lets the wind turn its blades. Right? It's stationary. It does nothing. Just that. Just lets the wind turn its blades. Now, as the wind turns its blades, it does generate energy. It uses the power of the wind to generate energy to then spend somewhere else for another purpose. The Lord showed me that we're not to be like windmills. We as the children of God are to be more like a kite. And I don't know, I don't fly a kite, so this is just what God showed me. We're to be like a kite, because I want to tell you what a kite is without the wind. It's worthless. It's a tangled mess, right? Anybody ever had your kids have a kite? Like, you got to buy a new string for it. It's a mess. When they put it away, it's all tied in knots. But without the wind, a kite is useless. See, a kite relies on the power of the wind to even move. It'll do nothing without the power of wind. And it doesn't just take that power and use it somewhere else. It moves with the wind. The wind is its power. The wind is the only way that it is useful. It's the only way that it can move. And so it goes as the wind goes, because it cannot do anything on its own. You guys realize that's how we're supposed to be as the children of God. That apart from Christ, we are nothing. And we need the power of the Spirit of God blowing us to where we need to go. We need to rely on him. Church, we need to be like kites. We need to declare, Holy Spirit, not just do I need your power, I want to use your power for my benefit. I need your power to go where you've called me to go. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. we get ready to open up the altars and worship the Lord for a moment, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want you to hear these things. I want you to listen and see if you hear the sound of the wind for you this morning. You know, there's a lot of people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that have heard bad things about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that just don't like weird. And I want to tell you that in this church, we're a full gospel church. We believe in the fullness of the Word of God. But I want to tell you that we also don't believe in being weird for the sake of being weird. We'll be weird when the Holy Spirit moves upon us and does something strange. Some of us are trying to hide from Him. Some of you are in a place in your life where you know that you need God, but you're trying to hide from Him. Psalm 139 says, there is nowhere to hide from your Spirit. Lord, there's nowhere we can go that your Spirit won't find us. It says that He's always at work. It says that He never stops. If He did, it would all fall apart because He's the one that holds it all together. And so the question for some of you this morning is, do you need that first wind today? Do you need the first wind today? Because as the Spirit blows upon you, as He gives you revelation of who Christ is, not just what you think of in your mind, but in your heart, who He really is, that He is Savior, that He's Redeemer, that He's Restorer, that He is Healer, that He is Deliverer, that He is more than enough for you, that He sees value and worth in your life, and that He died for you. He died so that you could be forgiven of sins if you would accept Him, but then He rose from the dead so you could have new life in Him. Some of you this morning need to receive that and know that the Spirit gives us a new heart. He gives us a new heart with new desires. And so for some of you, you need to surrender this morning. Surrender and give your power over to the One who is greater. Give your power over to the One who changes and transforms, the only One that can bring everlasting peace to your life. If you want to be able to lay your head on your pillow tonight without worry and fear and guilt and condemnation, come to Jesus. Receive that first wind this morning. Is there evidence of His presence at work in your life? Is there evidence that He's working and moving and shaping and molding you, children of God? Do you listen for the sound? This morning, I want to encourage some of you, if you've already accepted Christ as Lord, that, man, today, I want this to be the day, right now, that you determine, you declare, you make a statement that I will listen for the sound. I want to see the way that God is moving. I want the fullness of what He has for me. Because I'll tell you what, the church will never do what the church was made to do if we don't get the second wind. We'll never see radical transformation beyond saved butts sitting in seats. We'll never see something more without the second wind. Holy Spirit, we just ask You to blow upon these people this morning. Lord, we need revival upon the hearts of the church. Lord, so often we talk about revival and what we're asking You to do is to save those people that are out there, to work mightily in them. And I believe that revival starts with the church. Revival starts with You working upon our hearts, that second wind comes upon us and stokes the fire. Lord, the second wind comes upon us and gives us the power to be a witness, the boldness to be a witness. And so we ask that You would come. Blow upon Your church this morning. Lord, blow down barriers of religion. God, we don't want to be people. We don't want to be people that just come to church and have a good service. What good is a good service? What good is a good service if the Spirit of God is not blowing upon His people, bringing a refreshing, a renewing, bringing us to a place where we have zeal and passion for Christ, bringing us to a place where we are on fire so much that we're contagious when we go out in public. That as we follow the Spirit, as we go where the wind blows, Lord, that we find ourselves in strange places, talking to strange people, telling them strange things because we're not of this world. But we have a home in heaven. Lord, we as the church, Lord, I just bring to life that word that Skylar gave a couple years ago, that the church would arise. Lord, let the church arise in victory and in power today. Lord, it's not just about preaching the gospel, it's about living the gospel with our lives. God, it's not just about Holy Spirit showing up in the ways that we want, but it's about surprises. It's about you showing up in an unexpected way. It's about you showing up in a way that would shatter false doctrines and false teachings and strongholds over our mind, and you'd restore truth to the church. God, let us be those that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that they work together to bring life to our church, life to our community, life to our nation, life to this world. God, blow upon your people this morning. Father, we ask for the second wind. Holy Spirit, that you'd begin to blow upon us, that every heart that's open to receive what you have for us today, that we will leave filled and changed and transformed and on fire for you. Lord, we so desperately want our neighbors to change, our family to change, our friends to change, our coworkers to change. Lord, start with us. Start right here. Let the revival winds blow this morning.